Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, but it's not the night and the lights are not low. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon here on a nice sunny day in Queens, New York. And we're gonna be talking about a show that's gonna be taking place in Queens, New York, in the area of Astoria. It's 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, that successful Broadway show. It's coming to the Astoria Performing Arts Center. This one-act musical comedy centers on a fictional spelling bee set in a geographical, ambiguous Putnam Valley Middle School. And six quirky adolescents compete in the bee, and they're run by three equally quirky grown-ups. In case you haven't seen it, so joining us will be Lindsay Van Winkle, who's playing Rona, Stephen Mark, who's playing Chip, and Lee Slobotkin, who's playing Leaf. We'll get a better description of the show, and we'll get the chat with the three cast members. And so in the meantime, we have a... they all had to say something. They wanted to say hello, and they promised that they wouldn't, well, doesn't mean anything. They promised they wouldn't bother me during the show. And, well, we have to have messages from our sponsors, and, of course, yeah.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
And you can get these wonderful, delicious brownies at www.brownies.com. And, of course, if you're going to have brownies, you know, you have to have milk with it, you know, really.
Hey, Martha, why do you smile? I was just thinking, I'm here at Roddy Brook Farms, eating delicious grass, not being injected with some synthetic hormones. I just gave birth to another cutie calf and don't even have to deal with any bull. I hear you, Mar. You know what they call cows that can't give milk? No, what, Sal? Utter failure. So, where is our big daddy Ronnie? Probably somewhere exercising, doing yogurt. At Ronnybrook Farms, you'll find the best of dairy products. Our milks vary in butterfat from non-fat to heavy cream. Enjoy the creamy yogurts from the cup or one that you can simply drink with the best of culture without artificial thickeners or additives. We don't have sour cream. We do have creme fraiche. Butter is better when you can choose cinnamon toast to spread on bread or pancakes. And since we scream for ice cream any time of year, you'll love our 16% butterfat. Do you remember getting bottled milk delivered, opening it to find the cream on the top? That is how you'll find our sweet-tasting cream-lined milk. I'll hand it to you, Sal. Our milk may get past your eyes, but certainly not homogenized. Bonnybrook Farms, where cows always seem to be in a good mood. Check us out at www.ronniebrook.com.
Oh, yeah. Well, after I finish, then I'll have, I can't have a brownie. I could have, though. I just, okay. I went to Agna Chocolates yesterday. Oh, it's in Queens on Metropolitan Avenue in Forest Hills. And I went there to check out what they were, like, if they were doing anything, making some for Passover. OMG. Okay. Well, you know, they're already hand-dipping macaroons, the coconut macaroons, and chocolate. But they also made chocolate-covered matzahs, which is may not sound unusual, but it's coated with the almonds, you know, like those chopped almonds that they use for, like, almond crunch. I mean, it's like, wow, double delicious. And I think that, I'm not sure if they ship. You could check it out. Oh, yes, wait a minute, they do. I don't know. Agner Chocolates, A-I-G-N-E-R, Agner Chocolates. Anyway, and they also started using this coffee maker, if you want to call it. It's from AeroPress. Got to check this out. AeroPress. AeroPress has this. It's like this portable coffee maker that's sort of like French press, but it takes like 30 seconds to get, you know, to get the coffee. It's go on the website. Just Google AeroPress. You have to see this thing. Because they have, you're able to get this coffee over at the chocolate shop. And I hear that they're going to be having some entertainment. They're going to have a harpist playing in the chocolate shop. This would be quite interesting. Okay. Anyway, so while we're waiting for them to our cast members to call in, this Sunday I'm going to see Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. Okay. So what I want to do is I'm going to play a couple of songs. Here's one.
Yeah. No, I think we're each calling in from our own phones.
Oh, okay. So who do I got right now?
Lindsay Van Winkle.
Oh, who's playing Rona?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Should we wait? Okay, that's two. I see a second person calling in. Let's see. Let's see who that is. Hi.
Hello?
And who do I got?
This is Lee Slobotkin.
Okay, and you're the one who's playing Leaf.
Yes, I am.
Okay. You know, I was
Googling. Who am I speaking to?
Merle Exit.
Hi, Merle.
They didn't tell you?
No, I got like a very strange like message. It was like, you'll be redirected to the show, to listen to the show. And I was like, okay, well, I hope I'm talking to Merle, not just listening to the show.
As opposed to the person who behind the English accent or whoever who's on the air there. By the way, you know, I was looking back to see in the original show. Do you know who played Leaf in the original show?
Yes, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who is back on Broadway right now in a one-man show called Fully Committed that I'm dying to see.
I got to find out, if I can find out who the public relations company is, maybe I can, has it been on for a while yet?
It just opened.
Yeah, it was just in previews.
Oh, it's still in previews. Oh, okay.
I know it was last week.
Okay, I could find out about maybe getting press tickets for this so I can review it. And,
Kylie.
So, in the meantime, let's see. All right, so we still have one more person calling in. Well, why don't we, at this point, let's talk about each of your characters so we can, here comes the third person. All right. Here we go. Click it on.
Hi.
And hi. And
hi.
We have...
Hi, it's Stephen.
Stephen Mark, who plays Chip.
That's right.
Okay. So, all right. So let's begin by who would like to give me a description of the show itself?
Ladies first.
A description of the show itself. Spelling Bee is just a heartwarming show. It's about six kids who are in the Putnam County Spelling Bee. It's a step away from nationals, and then the two adults, Rona Lisa Peretti and Vice Principal Douglas Tanch, who run the bee, and then there's Mitch Mahoney, our comfort counselor, and it's just the trials and tribulations of being a kid in such a stressful situation, and what's going on in their head, and what's going on in the adult's head, and it's just hilarious and heartwarming and heartbreaking at sometimes, But yeah, it's really fun.
Do you think it makes it funny because you're having adults playing the part, by the way?
Of course, but we're, like, playing it very truthful to the situation and not trying to play it for comedy. And the show is so heartwarming itself, and by making the characters honest and just playing the honesty of the situation, that's how the hilarity comes out.
And I think as adults, we forget sometimes that what we go through as children are the same emotions and same fears and anxieties and quirks that we still have as adults. You know, so it just, I think you're able to appreciate it more being an adult, going back to playing, you know, these kids. But yeah, it's not campy and it's not characters. It's not like, you know, the Lollipop Guild or anything. It's very true interpretations of just these, you know, quirky little people.
Okay, so why don't we go to each of you and tell me about your character. Okay, let's go to Leaf. Let's go to Lise LeBuffkin playing Leaf. Tell me about your character.
I play Leaf Coney Bear, and I also play the dad of one of the spellers, Logan Schwartz and Grubinier. She has two dads, which is a very... like rare, and she's the only girl in her school that has that, and she's teased. So, and I play the dad, Carl, dad, that's like very, very hard on her and like is training her for the spelling bee and is really relentless. And he's one of those dads that like if she came home with a B, it's unacceptable, A's only, which is so different from how I grew up. My parents were so encouraging and so supportive and always pushed me to do theater and do what I love, and like that came first, and my grades were always good, but I was never like shunned for bringing home a B+. So that's not something I really identify with, but it's really fun to play with. And I also play Leaf, of course, who comes from a big family of kids who are homeschooled, and he's one of the younger ones, and he is told by his family that he's not that smart, but he comes into the spelling bee as kind of a surprise. The two people that were ahead of him, he came in third in his regional bee, and the girl who won had to attend her bat mitzvah, and the second place had to go to the bat mitzvah, so I get to be in the spelling bee, and I'm so psyched. And it's just, I get to learn a little bit more about myself and find that I really am smart and not as dumb as my family has written me off to be.
And when the play first came out, was it always that the character had two dads?
Yeah, there was always a character with two dads. William Finn, who wrote the show, has written a lot about gays and lesbians, and he's in Judaism, of course. Those are like three things. He writes that in a lot of his shows.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I saw the show like ages ago and like totally blank, you know, at this point. You know, okay, so now let's get to, how about, let's talk with Chip, so to speak.
Chip.
Steven.
That's me.
Yes.
I play Chip.
Okay.
Short for Charlito Tolentino. Chip is the returning champ. He won the 24th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee and made it to nationals, where he suffered a disappointing loss and has come back to the 25th, hoping to have his second shot at nationals. So Chip is a confident sixth grader who comes to this spelling bee thinking that he's pretty much a shoo-in to win again. And what he learns is that a whole year is a long time for a sixth grader, and there are a lot of changes going on in my body that begin to distract me from what I know that I'm good at doing. And I spend a lot of the show, instead of being able to rely on my brain, being distracted by other parts of my body. Like Leah, I also play another character, but I'll save that for you guys to discover when you come see the show. And, yeah.
So, and considering that, then let me then ask, in terms of the audience itself, is this for kids to see? Is this for adults to see?
It's for everyone. I really feel that way. It's so funny and so charming, and it's a little bit more mature. But it is for all ages. I don't think it's like too inappropriate for young kids. Some stuff might go over their heads, but
yeah,
it is a lot of fun, and everyone will take something away from it that they love.
And all right, but let me get to Lindsay's character.
Yes, ma'am. I play Mona Lisa Peretti. She is the host. It's her ninth consecutive year as host of the Putnam County Spelling Bee. She actually won the Putnam County Spelling Bee in its third year. And she is a local real estate agent in the area, a top-selling realtor. And she loves, much like the kids, she loves spelling. She loves the bee. She loves what it represents. And I think she, you know, out of all the adults in the show, she really identifies and understands what the kids are going through in this moment. So she's sort of like the peacekeeper, and the, like, when everything starts to get crazy out of control, she brings it all back down and, you know, sort of the reminder of, okay, what's important? What do we like about the bee? What is fun? Yeah, and I get to sing some great music.
Now, then the other thing before we go into, because I'm going to also be talking with you about, like, your backgrounds, and, you know, it gives you an opportunity to to brag, yeah, which I like to do. But before I get to that, let's talk about the who's behind this production. Okay. Who would like to talk about who's behind this production? Who's the director, the producer, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure.
We are doing this. Okay, you go, Stephen.
This musical is being produced by the Astoria Performing Arts Center, or APAC for short. It's being directed by the artistic director of that company, Dev Bondarin, and choreographed by Misha Shields, and they are both have been splendid to work with. Our music director is Michael Ferreira, also who's been splendid to work with. Am I forgetting people, guys?
No.
That's our main team that we've been working with. They have a phenomenal team of designers that work with APAC, the set design and lighting. They have a phenomenal team that they put together a really great show.
Have all three of you been in productions with them before?
This is my first. This is actually my first show. Back in New York, I was on tour with Wicked for 2 years, so I'm back now, and I'm so excited to do this show with this cast. It's just incredible, and every time we go into rehearsal, it's just so fun to play and act like a kid and sing these amazing songs and really get to act out. It's so fun. This show is a blast, and for everyone who gets to see it, too, there's actually a couple opportunities for members of the audience to join our cast. We have guest spellers every night, so if you want to come and be in Spelling Bee one night, you will be up there performing with us and moving and shaking and having a blast.
Well, I will be there, but I don't think I'll be coming up on the stage. But anyway, do you, and I'm curious because, you know, there are shows that do this. Do you seek out people before? I mean, do you get it, like, as you're performing, think, oh, is I'm looking out in the audience now, this would be a
it's written in the show as to when, like, when we bring the audience members up, like, and it is, there's also a little pre-screening that is done before the show starts, that so we find the, you know, a good fit for the four people that we need. But, yeah, no, it is.
There's a pre-screening then. Okay.
Yeah, there is some, you know, things that are left up to chance and to fun that we get to, you know, sort of play around with. But it is structured and planned out fun.
Mm-hmm.
So
no one will
fly off the rails
unless they want to.
Yeah, definitely. It's not a situation where we just grab people and are like, you're in the show. Like, it's definitely a volunteer. A volunteer. And they are told what's going to happen and what to do, so it's not scary at all. I mean, a little scary, but fun scary.
Rehearsed ad-libs. Right.
Yeah.
Rehearse Adlib. I asked because I had done a show where I had to, at the end of the show, get somebody out of the audience, and I had to, like, through the entire show, kind of scan the audience and see who I was going to pick, as opposed to, you know, and that was a big surprise for the person. So that's why I kind of wondered whether, you know, it's a, so in other words, basically when shows are done like that, when people are chosen from the audience, the a lot of it is pre-screened.
I'm
not sure about all shows.
Yeah, it just depends on the type of show and what's needed from that audience member. You know, sometimes the sheer surprise and shock and horror of the person being picked is what that is needed for the show. And some shows need sort of a pre-screen, you know, just to make sure that it doesn't
No one's going to go rogue and, like, be, like, tracing across ruining our show that we've worked so hard on.
Yeah, we want them to be part of the family, not a family reject.
Yeah, not disrupting the flow.
Have any of you done the show before?
No,
not
any of us. I know Emily Romero, who's playing Marcy. She has done the show before, and I think that might be it.
And
out of all of
Patrick,
us.
And Patrick, Haley.
Oh, Patrick. Oh,
has
he done it before?
His role as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go with each of you and talk about. You know, like your basic show business career kind of thing. So let's start with the person I'm not hearing from. I keep hearing Lindsay and Lee.
Oh.
So Steven.
That's me.
Wake
Hi.
Up, Steven.
Hello, I'm here. Sure, I'll talk a little bit about what I've been up to. I graduated from NYU's Tisch School of the Arts, the new studio on Broadway for musical theater. And since then, I was out on the national tour of Anything Goes, playing Brother John last year. That was 2015. And then I was working on a show called The Calico Buffalo at New York Musical Theater Festival, or the NIMF Festival, over the summer. Which was a whole lot of fun. It was a brand new piece of theater, and we did it at the Pearl Theater on 42nd Street and 11th. It was a lot of fun. If you have never been to the NIMH Festival, I definitely would check it out and see some shows this summer. It's always really cool to see that new work being done. Then, let's see. After that, the thing that I was working on right before Spelling Bee was a workshop production of a new musical called Call It Courage. That was being done with the Binghamton Theater Retreat, which is a theater company that was started by Dev Janky. And the company focuses on creating new work or producing new work for artists of multicultural backgrounds. They promote diversity in casting, but also on the creative end. And that was really fun. That was at Stella Adler Studios back in March. And now I'm super happy to be working with APAC on Spelling Bee.
Now, how did in terms of the show, in terms of casting, how did the casting come about? Was this out in the Variety magazine or something with a casting call, or how did it go?
I
think there were listings on the internet, and my agent told me about it and told me to go in for it because I've wanted to play this part for a long time, and the opportunity hadn't arisen, and it's such a fun show to do, something I've been dying to do for a long time, so I like jumped at the chance to get to meet some new people, and the audition process was not that chaotic. They sent us the material, and we went in and performed it, and sometimes she gave us, Dev, the director, gave some adjustments, and Misha, the choreographer, actually did do a dance audition. I met Steven at the dance audition. We had a mutual friend that introduced us, and, like, I remember thinking, like, oh, my gosh, we're doing a dance call for Spelling Bee, but I'm not, like, from the dancers, but It was more about acting and character, and I just loved seeing what Misha brought to the table and Dev, and it made me so excited to hopefully get to work with them. And yeah, we're just having such an awesome time playing with one another and coming up with our version of the show.
Is there much ad-libbing in the show? I mean, other than when you're picking the people out of the audience.
Tons.
Oh, yeah. We
pepper
it all the way through, give a little color.
Oh, okay. And
especially Lindsay and her counterpart, Matt, who play the people who are leading the spelling bee, they have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they
Lindsay,
can talk
let's,
about everyone
so
who
let's,
comes
Lindsay,
out.
Let's hear you brag, then.
I've been in New York for 10 years now. I graduated many moons ago from the University of Central Oklahoma. You know, I've done a little bit of this, a little bit of that. In New York, I've done 3 off-Broadway shows, The Magdalene, Flipside the Patti Page Story, which I originated the role of Patti Page, and then most recently, I did the U.S. premiere of a Canadian show called, the U.S. premiere of a Canadian show called Nevermore, The Imaginary Life and Mysterious Death of Edgar Allan Poe, where I played Eliza Poe, Edgar's mother. That was at New World Stages. That was last year. It was a lot of fun. I've been on the national tour of White Christmas and done various productions of White Christmas across the U.S. playing Freddie Haynes. I played some fun roles. I recently just got to do Mary Poppins back in my home state of Oklahoma for, a sold-out crowd of 2,000 people a night, which was kind of amazing. And I'm doing this fabulous show here at the Story of Performing Arts. And then later this summer, I'm doing a regional premiere of a new show called Austin's Pride about Jane Austen, and I'm playing Jane.
So in terms of, like, because this is a comedy, do you prefer that you're doing a comedy?
I love comedy. I think I tend to play on the more straight character in comedy. Like, one person's always the kiyak-kiyaker, but you got to have that person that can keep the straight face and then crack a joke every once in a while. I'm good at that. But I love comedy, and I feel like I sort of go after roles of a certain, grit and merit, of, like, what they bring emotionally to the table, and if it's a funny side of that, then that's fun to do, and if it's a more dramatic side, I like to do that as well. I like to work a lot, working is nice. I think every actor can agree with that.
Yes.
I will do
definitely
what you need so I can work.
Right. I got that. I want to interject that I had I was once ordered. Well, it wasn't set up. It was a non-setup thing of where I happened to be at the time, and they were auditioning for a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard people around, and I just happened to be, like, dressed like a schlub. You know what that word means?
Yes,
yes,
I do. Ma'am.
Okay. And I heard people around me, they were saying, oh, you have to look like you're poor. And somebody said, no, you have to look like you're tough. And I'm thinking to myself, this is supposed to be an acting job. What do they want? So I just, like, I just looked at this guy. I just sat down, looked at this guy. I said hello, and I said, okay, what kind of character do you want me to look? And I'll look it for you. And he laughed. He said, I want to see your character. And I said, I got all kinds of characters. What do you want? But that's how I don't know. I wound up in the movie because they thought I was nuts.
Oh, my gosh, you sound like you have a lot of characters, just like Spelling Bee.
Yeah. So we have one more who didn't brag. Where's the other braggart?
All right, I'll brag. I graduated from, this is Lee speaking, I graduated from the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music in 2013. And that was for musical theater. And at the end of the 4 years, they drop you off in New York City with your suitcase and you do a little showcase for agents and hopefully somebody likes you. And Yeah, like you start your career like that. And I actually did a show while I was still in Cincinnati in school that gave me my equity card. That was called Life Could Be a Dream. It was it's kind of like Forever Plaid, or if the Marvelous Wonderettes, if you heard about that, it's like the brother show of that. It's like four boys singing in a basement, and they win a radio contest, and they become pop stars. So that was a lot of fun, all doo-wop shows, doo-wop songs of the 50s and 60s. I did that show twice when I finished school, and I also, after that, I did a production of Hello, Dolly! In Chicago with Tony Award winner Karen Ziemba as Dolly, so that was really fun. And while I was doing that in Chicago, that was the fall of 13, I found out that I was going to go on tour with Wicked, so I packed up all my stuff from Chicago and drove to Buffalo to start rehearsing Wicked, and I did that for 2 years. I just got off tour. I was playing Bach the Munchkin, and after that, I finished in December, and now I'm back in the city and been auditioning, and now we're doing Spelling Bee.
That's I'm looking forward to seeing it, although we have... There'll be a different person that's reviewing it.
Well,
no,
I
gotta, we're looking forward
give
to having
a good
it.
Review.
Although I might review it for a different paper.
Okay.
Yeah, I write for two papers in Queens. So,
very cool.
We're counting on you.
I remember it being a very funny show. That's what I do remember about it. When it was it ever on Broadway, or was it always an off-Broadway show?
It was both on and off, and on tour.
It started out at, was it Second Stage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I think it had its Out of Town at Barrington Stage, and then moved to Second Stage, and then moved to Circle in the Square, and I think played for a little over 2 years on Broadway.
Yeah, it had a nice little run.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, then that's probably most likely where I saw it.
It was a decade ago.
Yeah, it was about 10 years ago.
It's a good show for a lot of community theaters like to do that show. But
it's a small cast. You know, there's only eight of us.
Nine.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, it's a small cast, and you get a chance to, there's no really set in stone nature of what each role has to be, like as far as, ethnic diversity. So you can really open it up, you know, and they do have versions of some of the songs that you could do it with younger kids and make it a little less, take some of the adult themes out. It's a great show.
That's all I got. Any of you live in Queens or no?
I'm living in Queens right now.
Oh, you
live two blocks from the theater.
Oh, how perfect! People ask me if I come from Queens. I say no, my folks are straight.
Oh my God!
Okay. You didn't read. Okay, I know you. You should have Googled my name. I forgot to. They forgot to mention. So the show starts in May. When is exactly May? What?
5th. We open May 5th and run through the 28th.
And it's not
Thursday,
it's like
Friday to Saturday.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And how many? So Thursday, I'm guessing Thursday is one show. Friday is one show. Is there
mm-hmm.
two shows
Saturday,
on Saturday and one show on
yeah.
Sunday?
No,
shows
on
Sunday.
Four shows. A week.
No shows on Sunday.
Thursday.
We got the matinee
Friday.
And an evening show on Saturday. Evening show on and Thursday and Friday are evening shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the evening shows are at 8 p.m. and the matinee is at 2 p.m.
Okay. Well, that's. Do you happen to know the address offhand?
offhand, no, I'm so sorry. You can go to Google Astoria Performing Arts Center, and it'll take you to their website.
I think it's 3044 Crescent Street. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, it's 3044 Crescent Street.
at Crescent mm-hmm. and 30th Road in Astoria. And tickets can be purchased at apacny.org or apacny.org.
Okay. Well, is there anything either of you have to that you want to add to this?
Come
see
our
show.
No.
You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll laugh again. You might even be in it.
You'll certainly have a great time because we definitely are having a great time on stage.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much for sharing the information with us. And I'll certainly get it out there. And we'll see if we can pack the place. By the way, have ticket sales already started?
Yes, tickets are on sale.
Get your tickets
okay, and
now.
People are already calling in, I guess, for tickets?
Yes. We've definitely sold tickets already.
Yeah, it's interesting because certain places have, a reputation. There's certain, places that have reputation for having a good show, and people will just go because it has a reputation for having a good show, as opposed to when you have to, showcase and you get and everybody pays $10 and out of it you get five and you got to bring your
right.
own. We all know that scene.
For sure.
No. Yeah. APAC really does have
a
phenomenal following. And
yeah, that's good to know. Okay, so hopefully I'll see you guys and get out all this info way before the show begins.
Great.
Thank you so much, Merle.
To you.
All right, have a great day, guys.
All right, guys, and I will see you at rehearsal tonight.
See you later, guys.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Okay, so that's it. We're going to, at the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And so what I'm going to do is, I'm going to end the show a little early here then. So everybody, let's see. Where's my music intro? And by the way, also this weekend, I'm going to be going to something quite interesting. I don't know, we got to find a word other than interesting, but, okay. I'm going to call it, dramatic, I guess, right? Of interest, of different. All right, okay. I'm going to a Passover Seder that's being sponsored through the Holocaust Museum at the Queensborough Community College. And what it is that the Haggadah, for those who don't know what it is, it's like they particularly like a instructional booklet for the Seder that has descriptions, prayers, et cetera, et cetera. But this Haggadah was made up right after World War II that pertains to Holocaust survivors. So this will be quite different. I'll be writing about that. And so that's what's happening. So until next time, everybody have a good day, evening, afternoon, or what do you have? And I'm going to raid the chocolate. That's what I'm going to do. He's making his own heathen.